It's Joanna Macristerios here with the Podcast of Characters. And today's episode, we welcome a special guest, Julie Macristerios, to talk to us about the struggles of being a single mom. Julie is going to guide us through one of her most heartfelt life stories. And since every good story has a beginning, let's start off with how they met. Hello, Julie. Welcome. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So tell me how this all began. How did you meet your previous husband?
We met at the University of Western Ontario. I was a first-year student, and he was a second-year student. I had joined the Greek Club, which he was the president of, and I decided to get more involved with the Greek Club, so we got to know each other a lot better through events at the Greek Club.
Right, so you guys build like a strong friendship?
Yes, we did.
Getting to know each other and stuff. So what made you gain these feelings almost to see a further relationship rather than just friends?
Well, he decided to ask me for coffee one day, and he said that I wanted to get to know you a little bit more than just friends on a personal level. So at first I was a little hesitant because I didn't want to jump into a relationship being in the first year of university. I wanted to focus on my studies and getting to know people. But I decided that, you know what, why not give this a chance and why not go out for coffee and get to know him a little bit better?
So was it his charm or something that made you change your mind?
Absolutely. Yeah, he was very charming. And I thought to myself, well, you know what, I don't want to risk the chance of losing him when I thought he was such a great guy and somebody that I could see my future with.
So although it wasn't love at first sight and you guys were built a great friendship, when you did start to date him and the relationship progressed, did you have this feeling of knowing he was the one? And if you did, how did you come to that?
Yeah, you know what? Because we had such a strong friendship and we got along so well, we had the same morals, we had the same values, our cultures were very similar, so it was an easy fit. Once I got to know his parents, as we started to date, and I kind of felt like I fit in with them, and then he eventually came to meet my parents, since, you know, that's what you do when you're dating, you bring them over to the parents' house when you know that's somebody that you want to kind of have a long-term relationship with, and my parents hit it off, he fit in very well. And everything just seemed to fall into place, and it just seemed natural.
So you just knew, compared to other people that you've dated previously, that it just felt different?
Absolutely. Sometimes you just know.
Yeah.
And that's it.
In life, I believe that everything happens for a reason. So when Julie's husband had asked her on that coffee date, he saw that there was potential for something more than just a good friendship. Although Julie couldn't see that at first and she was kind of hesitant, I'm glad she decided to give him that chance, because if she hadn't, she wouldn't be the person she is today. And sometimes life puts you in those awkward situations that you wouldn't normally put yourself in, because it's just your destiny. And you have to trust life's processes, because, like I said before, everything is meant to be and you have a path. When you knew that he was the one and you wanted to pursue a life with him, what were your future goals and aspirations as a married couple together?
Well, we wanted to make sure that we, you know, grounded ourselves with some roots by getting a home or an apartment. We ended up getting an apartment in downtown London, get our careers going. So we both started working in London and then decided we wanted to have a family right away.
And how many children did you guys end up having together?
One beautiful baby girl.
How did it feel to be a mom finally and be able to raise your child with the person that you love the most in life?
I loved it. Like, it was the one thing that brought me the most joy. You don't realize how much something really impacts your life until you actually have a child.
Exactly. It's like your husband is your first love, but your child will always be, you know, one of the greatest things that ever happened to you. And I bet that must have been an amazing feeling to share together.
You got to bang on there.
When you've met the love of your life, it's so exciting to take these next steps together, to find a home, to decorate that home, and then eventually have children. Like Julie had mentioned, there is no love like the love for your child, and then being able to raise that child with your significant other and teach it your ways is just a great feeling. And to know that you have the person that you love the most by your side every day, that you get to wake up to every day, must be so heartwarming, and people who get to experience that are very lucky. Raising this child together as a brand new mom and with your husband, what were some challenges that you faced together? Any ups and downs that you overcame as a couple?
Yes, definitely. I mean, Everybody, of course, experiences ups and downs. But with us, it was a little bit more unique. We started out very strong, but he worked very late hours. So I was kind of on my own when my daughter was first born. So that was really a struggle. He was a manager at TD Bank, but he worked a lot of evenings because of the time changes for his clients. So he wasn't home a lot. So I found myself going to visit my mother-in-law all the way in Parry Sound to help me out because she was very colicky, sleeping all day and up all night. So that was a little bit of a challenge. Then that got a little bit easier. He changed positions. He was there more during the days, which was wonderful. And then 2 years in, we had, you know, some tragic news. He had become very sick.
And what was he diagnosed with when you found this out?
He was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis.
Okay, and how did that make you feel, and what was your initial reaction as well as his, knowing the severity of that disease and what your future would look like after that, how things would change?
I was very scary. Yeah, very scary.
I bet.
Ironically, my best friend was the manager of the Multiple Sclerosis Society, and his brother was diagnosed a couple of years earlier, so we kind of had a taste of what it was like for someone with MS and how challenging it was.
And what did that look like? What were those challenges like?
He experienced extreme fatigue, extreme numbness. He was relapsing, remitting, which meant that he would get very bad, but then bounce back, you know, with some treatment. And he was able to live somewhat of a normal life. I would say that it was very challenging for him, mostly. And of course, for me, is feeling it like the caretaker.
Of course, your first initial reaction was, can I do this without him if he's tired one day? Or, you know, you were scared, right? It's so sad to see the worst things happening to the best people. And it just goes to show that one day you could be living an amazing life, and the next day you wake up and everything's turned around for you. Like Julie's situation, where her husband was doing great and then out of nowhere got diagnosed with this awful disease that he has to live with for the rest of his life. And you always hear about these stories about people getting sick and everything changes for them, and you never think it's going to be you until you get hit with that curveball and you're like, wow, how am I going to learn to deal with this? And you have no other choice but to overcome this and adjust your routine to fit what has changed in your life. As the years progressed, knowing that he was diagnosed with such a terrible disease, what did that look like for you and your family? Was he getting any better? Was he worse? Did you guys kind of develop a routine with his MS?
We definitely managed it a lot better. And there was years where he was doing very well and managed very well. And then probably when my daughter was 6 years old, so about 4 years into his MS, he experienced more and more challenges. And he started to take a little more risks by going on some trial medications.
Oh, that's very tough, I bet.
It was very tough because it's the unknown, but so exactly. Is the disease. So, you know, sometimes you have to take some chances in hopes that he's going to get better, since he's already feeling at his lowest.
And this just shows, you know, like you could be living an amazing life and then one day out of nowhere you're diagnosed with something that could risk your future.
Absolutely. And scary, because it impacts you in so many ways. Like, what if he can't work one day? What does that look like? And you know, the stresses for me being, is it going to just be all on me? And
exactly.
On top of that, financially providing and taking care of somebody who's ill. And for my daughter to make sure that he's there for her the way she would like to see him. Or, you know, his mental health was also affected.
Exactly, yeah, I totally understand. Did he end up getting any better? Or what did that end up looking like?
No, he did get worse. We thought he was getting better, but then he was doing his trial medication one day, and after he finished day 3 of it, like every other year, he was okay, but he went to bed one night and woke up the next day and his body rejected it for some reason, whereas previous years on this, it didn't happen that way. I was away for a dance with my daughter at a dance competition. He told me he was going to meet us in Toronto for it the next day, but when I didn't hear from him, I thought something's not right. So yeah. I went to, we came back from Toronto to find that he was not well, and he actually being very ill. So we had to react very quickly and call the hospital.
And then what did the hospital tell you when you had to call that ambulance, and what was your initial reaction? Was it shock?
Yeah, because he was basically choking, and I thought that I wasn't going to be able to save him, and I was like, thank goodness we did come back and find him, or we may have lost him. And so we did save his life. To keep, you know, a long story short, he pulled through. It was a long recovery because the doctors had said he had gone septic, so he was in the emergency room because they said that he might not make it, call his family. His family came down. But nonetheless, he did make it through that one.
When you guys found out that he was going to be okay from that first relapse and he was going to make a recovery, were there any expected challenges that he was going to have to overcome? And is he the same person now after the incident that he was before?
No, certainly not. He had experienced cognitive issues, balance issues, communicating with others. He started to seclude himself quite a bit. So there was an impact to his mental health, his physical health, and his social health.
So when he started secluding himself, did that take a detriment on your relationship with him and his relationship with his daughter even?
Absolutely. I mean, because he wasn't present. He was there, but he wasn't present. So he wasn't actively, you know, coming with me to take my daughter to dance or the everyday lives of, you know, when he would come, he would eat dinner with us, but immediately go and kind of like, not intentionally, he just didn't want us to see him deteriorate.
Yeah.
Like he
was. And that makes sense. Was there anything that you guys wanted to do to overcome this together and repair your relationship together?
Yes, absolutely. We did book a trip to go away, and that really helped because he felt a little bit more relaxed and less stressed. So that definitely and certainly helped.
That's good. So as time progressed and he was hopefully on a better recovery, was your relationship on a better track than it was from the beginning?
Yes, absolutely. As things got better and as he got better, it was never going to be the same because he still changed as a person, and this illness will do that to you. But it was getting better, absolutely. We were socializing a lot more and having a very nice time. And as a matter of fact, it was Halloween. We just had gone to a Halloween party. And the very next day, out of nowhere, I came home and found him laying on the couch, but he was no longer with us.
That's so sad. I'm so sorry to hear that. So when you found that your husband had passed away, what was going through your head in that moment? How were you going to navigate now with having a child and doing this on your own?
That was the biggest fear. First of all, you're just trying to get past the shock.
Right, right.
And once you get past that shock, it's now, okay, how am I going to do this on my own with a daughter who's only 11 years old, who's a competitive dancer, but I'm also have my business.
Right.
And how am I going to still travel and still take care of her and be there for her? So I had to make some very tough decisions. I sacrificed a lot of kind of my goals and aspirations on the career side because I thought it was very important to be there more for my daughter because we didn't have a lot of family close by to be able to help me with her. So that was the biggest challenge. And
so as time passed and you had that time to grieve and you kind of accepted, you know, it's just you and your daughter in this together, what were some changes that you had to make to your life, and what did your routine from there on out look like being a single mom now?
Firstly, like I had mentioned, I had to sell my business so that I could be there for her more. So financially, I took a huge impact. So not only did we lose the financial impact from not having a second income, now my income had dropped even more so from not having my own business and now going to work for someone else. So that was my biggest fear, is can I keep the same lifestyle for myself and my daughter as I had when my husband was here? Can we keep our home? Can I keep her in dance? You know, they say don't make any big decisions in the first year of someone passing, and I stuck by that and I listened to it. So I kept her in dance. I went and worked for someone else so that I could have my evenings and weekends free. And it was a little tough, but you know what? We made it work. And I was very fortunate to have a daughter who didn't give me a hard time, actually. She was just so wonderful. So
wow, you're a super parent. So the day-to-day without your husband, how did you play not just the role of a mom, but the role of a dad, still trying to carry out this relationship with your daughter.
You know what? I didn't even think of it that way. People always say, oh, you're a mom and a dad. But I just dealt with things as they came. So when she was going through her little snippy, snotty mood, I just kind of dealt with it the best way that I could. I'd sometimes think about, okay, if her dad was here, what would he want me to do? Or how would he want me to handle it? And sometimes that would be some comfort, you know, would be comforting. Yeah. But what really got me through it were my friends and family and his family.
Yeah, that's very important to have that support system. If I were to tell you the most important thing to take out of this episode today, it would be to not take things for granted. You never know when it's going to be your last day. You never know when any of your loved ones' last day is. Live your life to the fullest. It's too short. Laugh, make memories, take that risk. Send that person you love a text message, or anyone that you've been thinking of a text message. Tell the people that you love around them how much you love them. You could change someone's day. And not even just that, you don't want to lose someone that you love and then have that regret and live with that regret that you didn't check up on them, or you didn't send that text message to them that you've been wanting to send, or that you didn't say I love you. So we need to take every day like it's our last and learn the lesson from this podcast that you never know what you're going to face in life and what you're going to have to deal with. So please, please, please take care of yourselves and others around you, and make sure it is known that you will not have any regrets if you were to lose your life tomorrow or lose someone that you love greatly. How many years has it been since this awful news that you found out and have endured?
It's been 5 years now.
Wow, okay. Within that period of time, I'm sure you learned a lot of things and navigating having to be a single mom. What does your life look like today?
Well, I've luckily, and didn't think that this would happen, but I did meet somebody
That's great.
I've come to care for deeply. And I feel like I have now another partner that I can rely on, and it doesn't feel like everything's on me anymore.
Right, yeah, it must have been really scary to be all on your own, but you must feel so at ease to have a partner now. What is your relationship with your daughter like since then? And having been a single mom, what did you learn?
Well, I'm very fortunate to have a good relationship with my daughter. It's interesting because, of course, everybody has their moments. You know, there was pockets of time where it was very challenging, but that's the teen years, of course.
Yeah.
And we're both females, and there's right. No male to kind of like
mediate.
Just kind of get in there. But I would just say that we had a great relationship. We still have a great relationship. She, in many respects, made it easy on me to not feel like I was alone it's almost like she intuitively knew that it was hard on me.
Right,
and
yeah.
Always asked me how she could help or what she could do.
And in that situation, you honestly had only each other. So it must have been nice to have that bond and build that close relationship.
Yeah, absolutely it was.
Because it was just you two in it, right? Until you found your partner again. Now that you've gone through your whole story, I think our viewers would love to know, what is the single most important advice that you would give to a single parent that is experiencing maybe something similar to you or just on their own in general?
Honestly, take it day by day. The biggest challenge is the what ifs.
Yeah.
Okay, what if this happens? What if that happens? Well, we just, you know, we can't predict that anything's going to happen. So try to live in the moment and deal with whatever's happening in the moment and try not to worry too far out because it may never happen.
Yeah, that is very true.
Makes it scarier every time you think like that. So just try to take it day by day, do your very best, and that's the most you can do.
Great. Thank you so much, Julie, for coming on this episode today. It was very nice to have you, and I loved hearing about your journey, and I hope to bring you on another episode.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure.